Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Yes. All right. Why don't you have a seat? Good morning. If you're a guest today, my name is Trey Kelly. I'm the pastor here. We are so glad that you are with us today. We are continuing a series we've been in for the last couple of weeks called Family Circus. And if it's your first time watching online, and after today you kind of want to know what we've been talking about, how we got here, you can visit this website. You can go to wellspringchurch.tv/familycircus, and you can catch up with everything that we have been talking about. Again, this is week four of the series, so for the last 3 weeks, we've really been talking about what we consider a universal topic. We've been saying the entire series, everyone in this room is either planning for a family, currently in a family, or recovering from a family. Like, we're all there. And so family is this universal topic, and we think that's great. It's a great topic for us to discuss here at church because we believe God created family. We believe God created the church, and we believe the best thing for your family is to fall in love with God and to be connected to Him through a church. And so that's why we're doing this series. It's because as your church, we want to help you get the absolute most out of your family. And if you're a guest today, I know we are not your church yet, but boy, we would love to be. And we're going to do everything in our power today to help you understand who God is, what He wants for your life, and how we believe He has called us as a church to help you do whatever it is He wants and for help you to get the most out of your family. We've been talking about this series really in kind of two distinct ways that I just want to, again, catch you up on if you've missed the last couple of weeks. Number one, we've been talking about what we're calling practical principles, and that's exactly what it sounds like. We believe that, as we said, God's the creator of family. He has lots of ideas about family. He has lots of truths about family. So in this room every week, we're basically just looking at just some tips and some things that God says, hey, your family will be better if you do this. But we know that only so much can happen in this room. So in addition to these practical principles, we've been offering what we're calling personal partnerships. And what that means is that as your church, we want to come along beside you, come alongside your family, and we want to actually help you learn how to put these principles into practice. And we've done that through that we call them small groups, men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies. We even have some kind of one-off environments we talked about last week. Just next steps that you can take to get in a smaller group of people, people just like you, people in the same phase of parenting as you, where you can connect with people that are a little further ahead than you in the parenting journey and the family journey and learn. We really just want to make it as easy as possible for you to take the skills and the strengths and the things we're talking about in this room and actually put them into practice in your life and actually see them happen. Because here's what we've been discovering. The key to a great family is actually pretty simple. It's not very complicated. It really comes down to three basic skills. Skills we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Skills that are incredibly easy to understand, but skills that we believe, and you will believe as well, take a lifetime to master. And so that's why we want to put you in partnerships and in groups so that you can take your family and your life to the next level. But in case you forgot, or maybe you're a guest today, here are the skills we've been talking about over the last few weeks. Really, it really boils down to three things for us. Number one, submission. We believe the key to a healthy life and a healthy family is to learn the skill of submission by first submitting your life to Jesus, giving Him complete and total control. And then as you do that, not only do you submit your life to Jesus, you begin to love and lead like Jesus loved and led. And He submitted His desires and His wants and His opinions to what was best for the people around Him, for the people He loved. So if you want your family to thrive, not only should you submit your life to Jesus, you should then begin to submit your opinions and things and doing what is best for them, not what is just simply best for you. Like I said, very simple, right? Easy. We can all just do that. It's super simple. Simple to understand, but it takes a lifetime to master. The second skill we talked about last week is the skill of synchronization. Last week, I encouraged everyone in this room to abandon balance. Abandon that myth that we can find some balance and please everyone, and to instead adopt what I believe God wants us to adopt, which is to think about our family and our life in terms of rhythm. Who's going to drive the decisions in your family? And we said, hey, you can live in sync if you can orient your entire life and your entire family's life around the voice of God in your life. And if you let God begin to call the shots, you can stay in sync in the busy seasons, in the calm seasons, in the crazy seasons. You can stay in sync in all those things. And then this week, we're going to tackle the third skill. Some of you have been wondering about it for the last couple of weeks. The skill that we're calling the skill of satisfaction. And again, I know for some of you, every time I say that, you're like, satisfaction isn't a skill. Satisfaction is the way you feel. Now look, I understand how you feel that way right now. But my hope today is that as we begin to look at what God means when he says this and what God wants for our life, I hope we begin to understand, and I hope you begin to understand, we are 100% in control over the level of satisfaction we feel in our lives. We are. We control it. And you're looking at me and say, how's that true? Well, don't worry, we're not done yet. But we're going to learn today about the skill of satisfaction. And the reason I know we are in control over the level of satisfaction we feel is because we're also in control over the level of dissatisfaction we feel in our lives. And the number one things that drives our dissatisfaction with all things is these two little inventions right here. Our eyeballs. We look around. We see what other families are doing. We see what other families are feeling. We see what other families are, where they're vacationing. And we see the grades they got. And we see the events that they made. And we begin to compare our lives with their lives. And we feel like they have more and theirs is better and ours doesn't measure up. And so we, by definition, become dissatisfied because they have something we don't have. And it's all because of comparison. Maybe you don't know this, but I'm just going to make it pretty clear. Comparison sabotages satisfaction. 100%. It'll sabotage your satisfaction every single time. And the reason it sabotages, let me help you, is because it's deceptive. You're not playing with truth. You're not playing with fact. You're being deceived. And whenever we are deceived and we try to make reasonable, rational decisions based on deceit, it doesn't tend to work out well. Because you know this. This is a common thing to know, but it's really hard to put into practice. When it comes to comparison, the reason comparison is so dangerous and the reason comparison is so deceiving, it's because we know more than other people show. We know what's going on. We know about the 3 a.m. fight. We know about all the struggles. Other people don't show us their struggles, especially if you're looking at social media and things like that. I've heard it compared before. When you look at social media or when you try to measure your life up against somebody else's life and you become dissatisfied because it's not together, what you're doing, and again, you know this. You know this, but we just don't think about it in this way. You are comparing your behind the scenes to other people's highlight reels. And it's just not fair. It's just not a reasonable thing to do. And so the reason I'm talking about comparison is I'm trying to help you understand how a skill is involved here. Because if we can sabotage our satisfaction, if we can do things that cause us to be dissatisfied, we equally can do things that cause us to live more satisfied. Because satisfaction is really just the meeting. It is the meeting of reality and expectation. Here's how we're defining satisfaction. Satisfaction is simply the space where our reality matches our expectations. That's it. That's it. Expectations, reality. And most of us live in a place where we see our reality is down here, and we see our expectations is up here, and that gap is dissatisfaction. And the reason I'm calling satisfaction a skill is because I believe there is a skill involved to both shrinking that gap and learning how to correctly fill the gap when you experience it. So what I want to do today is I just want to do two things. Number one, I want us to look at a story from the life of Jesus. Because I think for some of us today, the reason we live so dissatisfied is because we have a distorted view, both of our reality and other people's reality. Our reality and the expectations we set. They're just unclear because we've been deceived, because we've been lied to, because we keep comparing. So I want to look at a story, and then I want to turn to this guy named Paul. We talk about a lot here, and I'll explain him in a little bit. We're going to look at a story, and then we're going to discover a skill. The story is hopefully going to help us clarify our reality, and then the skill is going to tell us what to do when we can't take it to the next level. The story is hopefully going to shrink the gap between our expectations and our reality. The skill is going to help us know what to do to bring those perfectly in line. So, the first thing I want to do in an effort to get you to not compare your family to other people's families is I'm going to compare your family to somebody else's family. All right? because again, one of the problems that I think we have, especially, you know, if you would call yourself a Christ follower, especially, you know, if you would say you're trying to do the right things, you're trying to orient your life around God, you're trying to learn those skills, you're trying to do those things, you know, we always feel like we don't measure up. And again, it's because we're being deceived, but we feel like we don't measure up, and we compare ourselves to other people, and we say, well, you know, well, they would never do that, and they would never do that. We're constantly being beaten down. And so I just want to paint a picture for you very quickly, because if you've ever felt like you're an inadequate parent, or you're not doing a good enough job, or you just can't figure it out, I want to compare you to them for a moment to a family that you probably think was the perfect family. I'm talking about Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. Okay? Because if you don't know the story, these are people that were handpicked by the God of the universe to raise his perfect son. He looked down and said, I want her and I want him to raise my boy. So you would assume, well, they must have been perfect parents. Guess what? They weren't. We have very few stories told to us about Jesus' childhood. We know about his birth. We know about a couple of visits he had. We know that his family moved to Egypt for a while, and then they moved back. And then we have this one story of Jesus when he was 12 years old, when he was in all his preteen glory. And it is just a remarkable story. If you don't know who Luke is, Luke was a follower of Jesus. He was a Christian. He was not one of the disciples. Luke was actually someone who was converted later on in life, and he was a historian. So he went around and he interviewed people, and I'm pretty sure he interviewed Jesus' mother Mary. That's probably where he got this story. And rather than tell you anymore, I just want to share this story with you. And before I do, I just want to say to all the parents in the room who are praying, who are trying, who are struggling, you are doing better than you think you are. And if you don't feel that way yet, wait till you hear this story. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 2. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. Here's what we are told in Luke chapter 2. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And this is really important. The Passover festival was one of the most important religious festivals for the Jewish people. You had to go to Jerusalem to observe it. This tells us Jesus' parents were doing the best they could. They were submitting their lives to Jesus. They were they weren't submitting their lives. They didn't know about Jesus yet. They were submitting their lives to God. They were doing their best to live in sync with God. They were connecting with God. They were orienting their children's lives around the voice of God. They were going to do this celebration. And so they're on the way to Jerusalem. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. Every year they did this. This year something interesting happens. Let's keep reading. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Jesus decided, I'm not going home yet. I'm going to stay. And because he was 12, he didn't tell anybody. Jesus decided, I'm good. So they're all at the festival, all these families. They all leave. They all go to walk back to Nazareth. Walk, mind you. Walk back. And Luke tells us, Jesus doesn't go back. Watch this. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. You feeling like better parents yet? You feeling good? Let's keep reading. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him. It had been a full day. They had traveled a day. They had walked a day. And it had never occurred to Mary. It had never occurred to Joseph. Hey, where's the Son of God? Do you think he's... Remember the angels told us, take care, Son, God, Kibira. Where is he? No one had even thought about it until a whole day had passed. Don't worry, it gets worse. Let's keep reading. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. They then said, oh yeah, we have lost Jesus. We have lost the Son of God. That can't be good. And so they turn around and they go back to find Jesus. And three of the most horrifying yet freeing words, if you are a parent, are the next three words recorded for us in God's perfect holy scriptures. 3 days later. Seriously, are you feeling better yet? 3 days. They had traveled for a day away from Jerusalem. They had lost their son. They had to travel back for a full day. Son still lost. They then get to Jerusalem. They look for him for a full day. He was gone. He's 12 years old. He's a sixth grader. He was lost for 3 days. Three. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Not all. Most. Let's keep reading. Because his parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. Doesn't it make you feel good that Jesus' parents felt frantic from time to time? And he was perfect. And they felt frantic. Why have you done this to us? And then Jesus answers, and please hear me. My theology tells me and my belief system tells me Jesus never sinned in his life. He was absolutely perfect. But in his 12-year-old preteen, prepubescent angst, I think this is the closest he got. Because listen to this response. But why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? Now, if I'm Mary, I'm like, yeah, you about to meet him too. Walk away for 3 days. Say I want to be in my father's house. Here's what Luke tells us. But they didn't understand what he meant. You know what the Greek there says? They grounded him for a month. That's what that means. Let's keep reading. Then he returned to Nazareth to them and was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. She thought about him. Whew. And she says, you know, that reality did not meet my expectation of what it would be like to have the Son of God as my son. I didn't think I would search for him for 3 days and lose him. But she stored those things in her heart. She submitted them to God. She invited him to speak in to her life. And look what happened. Look what Luke tells us. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Now, parents, isn't that the goal? That you're going to raise kids that grow in wisdom and stature and favor with God and all the people. If that's your goal, and you're doing the best you can, you're submitting, you're orienting your life around God, you're orienting your life around his people, and you're pointing your kids the best you can, you are probably doing better than you think you are. None of you lost a kid for 3 days, right? Three. I mean, come on. But see, the reason I think the story's in there, the reason I tell it is because we get this distorted sense of reality. We get this distorted sense of expectation that if we do everything right, nothing's ever going to go wrong. That, well, but you don't understand, my child's disobedient. You don't understand they're doing this. You don't understand I can't get them to tell the truth. You don't understand I can't get them to tell the truth. It's like, yeah, okay. Are you stepping? Are you walking? Are you submitting? Are you in sync? Okay. Then let me help clarify. Let me help teach you how to live satisfied. Let me teach you how to bridge that gap between your expectation and your reality. And that begins with a clearer picture of reality. Everybody's got struggles. Everybody's got trouble. There's no such thing as a perfect family. There's no such thing as a perfect kid. It doesn't exist. And so we don't have to compare And we don't have to beat ourselves up when we fall short of a standard that that doesn't apply to us. And the way we really understand that is to begin to develop the skill of satisfaction in our lives. It simply begins with a clearer picture of reality that shrinks that gap. But there's still going to be a gap. And to answer the question of what we do with that gap, I want to turn to Paul. We talk about Paul out here at Wellspring. You guys have heard of Paul if you attend our church. If you're a guest today, Paul was an early Christian leader. He started most of the first churches that we know about. And what Paul would do is he would start a church, and then he would move on and start new churches in new towns. And then they would ask Paul questions, and he would actually write them letters. We call them training manuals. He would write letters to the churches to give them instructions for like what it means to follow Jesus. And what we as Christians believe is that God himself was speaking through Paul when Paul wrote those letters. And so we can read them almost 2,000 years later, and it's as if we are reading God's own thoughts. And in one of Paul's letters to the church at Philippi, he talks about this topic. He talks about what we should do with the gap. And he teaches us how we can develop the skill of satisfaction in our lives. So, if you have your Bibles, jump forward a couple of books to Philippians. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. But in Philippians chapter 4, Paul dives headlong into what do we do? Yeah, we can clarify, but what do we do with the gap? What do we do with the gap between our expectations and what we view as our reality? How do we fill that? And here's what Paul says. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all he's done. Now see, what Paul's just done is Paul has just gone straight to the heart of dissatisfaction. Straight to the heart of why comparing is so dangerous. Straight to the heart of why comparing is so deceitful. Straight to the heart of why you've got to develop the skills to know what to do with that gap. Because the reason you're sabotaged, the reason you feel dissatisfied is because you are worried about that gap. You're worried you're not doing something right to fill the gap. You're worried you're not good enough to fill the gap. You're worried your family's not good enough to fill the gap. You're worried everyone's out to get you and they keep raising the bar. You're worried that God's not good enough to help you fill that gap. Worry will wear you down. Worry will exhaust you. And so what Paul says, he goes straight to it. He says, hey, when you experience that gap between your expectations and what you think reality is, and when you see that gap, here's how you fill it. Don't worry. Pray. Don't take it on yourself. Don't try to solve it yourself. Submit, skill number one, your life to God. And live in sync by listening to what he says to you. See, these skills all go together. Submit your life to God. God, I trust you. Sync your life to God. God, I hear you. So I'm not going to worry. I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell you everything I think. I'm going to tell you everything that's wrong. I'm going to tell you all the things that bother me. And when you do, here's what Paul promises. Paul says, when you do that, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Here's what that means. That gap will be filled by Jesus. That gap will be filled by his peace. That gap will be filled by his assurance. I know you see it, and I know you think that you're off, but you're doing better than you think you are. And I'm at work in you, and I want to help you. And hey, these things you're worrying about, those aren't real. You need to worry about them. Hey, this stuff you're worrying about, you know what? There's actually some steps you can take. And I've got some steps, and I want to walk them with you. See, Jesus wants to fill that gap. And when it says there that he will guard your heart, you know what that literally means? That means once he fills the gap, he'll put a seal around it. He'll guard it. He'll guard that gap from ever opening again. Now, I wish it was as simple as a one-time solution, as a one-and-done solution, but it's not, as evidenced by Paul is about to teach us the same lesson again. It's like a preacher. Sometimes I'll make a point, it doesn't land, and I'll be like, well, I got to make that point again. So how do I say it? So Paul writes this. He says, don't worry, pray, and then the peace will happen. And this is as if when Paul's writing it, he goes, you know what? I can do better. I could say that better. So he tries again. He says again. He says, he keeps going. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. And he really nails it this time. He says, fix your thoughts. Now, this is the work. This is the skill of satisfaction. Because that fix, it means two things. Fix means to correct. Sometimes we need to correct our thoughts. We have the wrong thoughts. We need to correct them to be the right things. We can go to Jesus and he can correct those thoughts. But fix also means to anchor. Fix also means to secure. Fix also means to decide. I'm not going to let comparison, I'm not going to let outside things determine what I think. I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm going to secure my thoughts. I'm going to anchor my thoughts to something real and to something better. What would that be? Well, Paul tells us. Fix your thoughts on what? On what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He's not saying think about good things. He's saying think about God things. He's saying as you submit your life to him and as you seek to live in sync with him, you have to do the work. You have to make the choice. You have to make the decision day after day to think about what he says is true, to hold on to his truth, and to kick out the thoughts that don't belong. The best way I've ever heard this explained, if you've ever been to the airport, before you can go in, before you can get on a plane, what do? You go through TSA. And what do? They check your baggage. They check you. They look you up and down. They maybe ask you a couple questions. Do you know why? Because they don't want anything dangerous getting past where they are. You know what Paul's saying? He's saying we need to open up TSA in our minds. In every moment of every day, with every thought we have, we need to take that thought and we need to put it under the x-ray machine of God's truth. And we need to hold it up to the light and say, is this a true thought? Is this a thought that's from God? Is this a thought I should let in to my life? Or is this a thought that's come from me comparing myself to other people? Is this a thought that's come in by the deceiver who wants to hurt me? Is this a thought that's coming up because things I've done in my life that I haven't dealt with? Is this a good thought? Is this a God thought? Is this thought from God? Or does it need to be removed? Some of you need to spend this afternoon. You need to sit down with some of your thoughts. And you need to ask them, said, where you been this weekend? Has your baggage been in your possession the entire time you've been here in the airport? Or are you bringing baggage in that doesn't belong here? You need to hold it up to Jesus. You need to ask Jesus, what should I do with this thought? And if he says get rid of it, you got to get rid of it. That is the skill of satisfaction. That is the hard work of it. It's work. It's work that requires God's voice in your life. It's work that requires a heart that is submitted to him. It's work that requires a heart that is in sync with him. I believe it's work that requires a community of people to surround you so that they can speak the truth into you when you can't see it. See, it's not just about the principles. It requires a personal partnership. And it's something, as I've been saying this entire series, it's easy to sit here and listen and nod our heads. They're not simple. They're not difficult concepts. They're simple to understand. But they will take a lifetime to master, which is exactly what Paul says next. As Paul gives us this truth, he then says these words. He says, hey guys, don't forget, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Keep working at it. Keep working at this. Keep submitting. Keep listening. Keep examining your thoughts. Keep fixing your thoughts. Keep attaching them to truth. Every day, every moment when you wake up and that gap starts to widen, that gap starts to widen because you're comparing, that gap starts to widen because you've got a distorted sense of reality. Every time that gap widens, do not try to fill that gap with anything but Jesus. You go to him. You submit to him. You listen to him. You ask him what he thinks. And if you do that over and 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 over again, something beyond your comprehension will happen. Because he will begin to supernaturally change us from the inside out. Keep putting these things into practice. And Paul makes the same promise he did the first time. Then the God of peace will be with you. I told you. These skills are simple to understand, but they take a lifetime to master. They're not skills meant to be practiced alone. There's a reason God saw fit to give to his beloved people and to this earth the gift of his church. A group of people centered around making it easier and more accessible for people to follow the God of the universe in their lives. To figure out ways to connect with different age groups, different stages of life. To be there to provide the partnerships to help you and your family or your future family thrive. Because you know what Paul's really saying? All Paul's really doing is recapping what we've been talking about for weeks. What Paul's really saying is, hey, this is pretty simple. It all comes down to these practical principles. It really does. Submission. Submit your life to God. Synchronization. Listen to God. Satisfaction. Learn to trust him. You know why he says that? Because he knows a life submitted to Jesus in sync with his voice will be satisfied with his plans. Easy to say. But you know what it takes to master those skills? It takes community. It takes other people, which is why we don't stop at practical principles. It's why we're continuing to offer the personal partnerships. And we're going to continue to offer it today. These principles are not anything out of the, they're not original to me. They are from God's word, and they are so simple. And they are so life-changing. And as your church, we want to do whatever it takes to help you continue to take steps, to continue to perfect those skills, because it will make your life better. We have men's Bible studies. We have women's Bible studies. We have small groups. We have serving opportunities. We have so many steps you can take. And last week we announced another one that I'm really excited about. I want to bring it up again today. We have a new environment for families that we are calling Parenting Through the Phases. It starts on Sunday, March 3rd. And you can sign up for it today. And it's a specific environment designed for wherever you are in your family. Every stage of parenting, we're going to have small groups. We're going to have table leaders ready to walk you through it. It's a six-week journey to, again, put more legs on this. But honestly, my biggest hope, other than the content, my biggest hope is the connection you're going to experience. The connection of finding other people who are like, that happened to me too. Yeah, that happened to me too. Like, imagine how great parents felt when they talked to Mary about, what was Jesus like as a kid? Oh, he ran away for 3 days. What? Like, that type of community is available. Because don't miss what Paul said. Paul didn't just give us the principles. He said, keep putting them into practice. So I don't know what step you need to take. This is a step. I'm not saying this is the step. But for many of you, this is the next step. But our prayer today is wherever you are on your journey, whatever that next step is for you, whatever the next step is you need to take it from principle to partnership, to take it from something you know to something you do, to begin to perfect these skills in your life, whatever step that is, our hope and prayer is that as your church, you will trust us enough to let us help you take that next step. Because it's worth it. It's better. Because God has great things planned for you. He has great things planned for your family. So I pray you have the clarity, and I pray you have the courage to take a step today. Let me pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you for your son. Oh, we thank you for how much you love us and how much he loved us. And we thank you for how clear you are with all the great things you have for our families and just what you want for us. God, I just pray today that our hearts will be open to you. Our hearts will be open to your next step. God, make it clear what our next step is. Make it clear what is we can do to bring our life more under submission to you, more in sync with you, or to allow us to be more satisfied in you. God, I thank you for those three truths that we can think on and we can work towards. We thank you that you are with us every step of the way. We thank you that you never leave us. that you always love us, that you never give up, that we could one day experience all you created us to experience. Give us the courage to take that step today. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.